Everything you need to know about high school football. The Rudin Report presents Sunday Morning Quarterback with Dave Rudin. Now on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
We're ready for Thanksgiving. We're done with all games before Thanksgiving. And we finished up the non-Thanksgiving schedule this past weekend with Wilton finishing up their schedule with a win over Hill House and a 9-1 record. And they're ready now, waiting for the holiday games to play out. And we will see who they play in the first round of the state playoffs as the number one seed. We're going to preview the Thanksgiving games for you. Not as much drama as we normally have. Looking probably the two teams that really are under the microscope will be Ridgefield and Darien in Class L, needing victories. Darien will be an underdog against New Canaan. And in a case of role reversal, we're going to have Ridgefield going against Danbury, which is already in. Usually you would think Danbury's trying to play to get in, but not this year with the way the different classes have worked out. We're going to preview all the games, and we're also, we've got to fix, I don't know outside of Cheshire who doesn't think that the Syesky State Playoffs needs major fixing. It's been a topic. I've seen it a lot on social media. I know some other shows have been talking about it. We're going to talk about it. And joining us in a little bit will be Fairfield Ludlow coach Mitch Ross, who probably studies this more than anybody. And we will talk to him and see his ideas. I've talked to him a lot about it. I agree with most, not everything. And joining me along the ride here, as always, my co-host Sean Ireland. Sean, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing good. I kind of enjoy having a little bit of a break between the end of the state playoffs and all other sports, and then football. I'm now ready to dive into football for the home stretch with Thanksgiving and then 3 days of state playoffs.
Yeah. This is it seems like it was yesterday, Dave, that we were sitting here talking about, man, let's just get the season started. And now I feel the same way about Thanksgiving. All right, 10 days has been long enough. Let's just get to Thursday as quick as we can.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm ready. I wish there was more drama. And another thing we'll talk about with Mitch as well, and you and I talked about a little bit of my car ride in Thanksgiving football. It's so popular, and it also causes issues in scheduling as much, not just for the fall, but for the winter and spring as well. And I think there's a growing buzz going on right now about maybe it's time that we do away with Thanksgiving football, which I have very mixed feelings about, like everyone. But I have to admit, and this year more than ever, I'm leaning towards maybe it's time to change.
Yeah, I'm on the Thanksgiving football side.
I knew you would be.
As a former player, as a former coach, it's just a great tradition. There's nothing like waking up, 6 o'clock, 6 o'clock Thanksgiving Day morning, going to the game, getting ready for the game. There's really nothing like it.
Do you think though November should be finished and we haven't even started the playoffs yet?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's just the scheduling of the year. This is the latest Thanksgiving can be. I don't know if it's next year or the year before. Like Thanksgiving, the November 22nd could be Thanksgiving next year or the year after. So I think it's just has to do with the yearly schedule. Just Thanksgiving happened to fall so late. But yeah, there's nothing like Thanksgiving Day football.
I don't know that we need December fall. This is not a knock on Thanksgiving Day football. It's time to do something that's better for the entire schedule. And we just get done too late. You got so many fall athletes, football players, that if they finish at the very end, their winter practices have already started. New Canaan traditionally, and again this year, always has at least 3 to 6 players on the football team who have been going to the very last game of the season on the basketball team, and it hurts the basketball program. It hurts Rams coach Danny Melzer because he doesn't have everybody. You know, you look at this year too. We had the late start because we had the Thanksgiving, the late finish. And if you started a week earlier, if you got away with the bye week, and you know, I don't want to hear that we're going to protect the players and then go out and play, you know, 4 football games in 2 weeks and tell me you care about the players. You care about the players when it's convenient for you. So that's just, you know, a crock. But I just think you could start earlier. Let me ask you that. This would be, you'd have to do a lot for this. You'd have to play football on Labor Day weekend, and I don't know whether people want to do it or not. What would you think of championship weekend being Thanksgiving weekend? This weekend is all the, you have Thanksgiving, and then you look forward to all the championships.
Yeah, I mean, it would be nice. Like, going to December is, it's late, you know, but I also say it's a good problem to have, you know, like, sign me up right now to play 4 games in 2 weeks. I'll take it, you know, like, you know, and I'm sure a lot of other teams will say the same thing. You know, I don't know what the right answer is, Dave. The one thing I can tell you, and we're talking about, I don't know what, 16 teams, maybe, you know, every single team plays on Thanksgiving, except a handful, you know, every single school does. You know, so like, I don't know why we need to change everything for a handful of schools when the entire state does the same thing.
Well, when we're talking about the CIAC and playoffs, it's not a handful of schools.
Yeah.
It seems like it's every school,
right.
which is a big problem. I totally get it. I always go back. I remember having this discussion. Boy, do you remember Al Gurney, the athletic director at Stanford? How far back am I going? With my Stanford advocate days, and I remember talking to him about it and having this exact discussion. He said, Dave, we're never going to be competing for a state championship. He said, Thanksgiving is our Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And you know, you're in a community where you're, you know, both schools periodically get into the state playoffs, but I get it. And, you know, West Hill Stanford both have had down seasons. They get to play a Super Bowl. So I this isn't knocking Thanksgiving. It's just I just think it's time. The playoffs should be special, and they're not, because we let everybody in. We get participatory trophies, and then we don't even have a regular season schedule that really sets up the playoffs either.
Yeah.
And they go too long. We shouldn't be playing. How many states have December football? I really should have looked that up. And even, you know what? Finish the first week of December.
Yeah.
That's not a hard fix.
Right. Dave, the one thing I could tell you, because as a player and coach, I would always get to the school about 6:15 in the morning. So in 2021, it was my first year not coaching. So I got to the field about 9:30. And just driving up to Norwalk High, the cars were all the way past Nathan Hale. Not that anybody knows this, but way down the road. You go to the Legion parking lot, packed. People are cooking out. People are grilling. And I'm like, I've never seen this. Because I always get there way before the game. So I think Thanksgiving has a lot to do with not just the teams, but the communities as well. It's just, I would hate for them to get rid of that.
No, and I totally get it. And I've talked even this weekend to a coach or two who are as dug in on Thanksgiving football as anyone. And they're even starting to, if not favor it, at least resign themselves to the fact that they think it's going to change. But we'll talk about that. I also just like for a minute or two, because Mitch is holding and we're going to have to take a break, but just to kind of set things up with him, you know, again, and you and I talked about it a lot last week, but we've got it. we've got to fix the state playoffs. We have to have a football committee, and we have to have a governing board that recognizes it's broken. It's the best teams are not getting in. Too many teams are getting in. We don't need six. We don't need six state champions. We need three or four, and we have to reward excellence and stop giving participatory trophies out to everybody.
I agree with that 100%. I think six divisions for Connecticut is way too many, way too many. If you want to do six divisions, then just go back to semifinals and finals then. Top four make it, not top eight, if you really want to do that. But I think consolidate, Dave, you know my idea. Go to four. If you want five divisions, put all the Tech and co-ops in one, let them play. You know, they could be the Tech co-op state championship, which would be great. And then consolidate all the other ones into four classes. Or if you even want to do three, I'd be okay with that.
Merge the L's, merge the M's, merge the S's, Tech division.
Yep.
Look how good you're looking at the teams that, you know, just look how good those playoffs would be. Those would be special. Instead, we're going to have a whole bunch of first-round blowouts. We're going to have some semifinal blowouts. And it's the state, you know, and I know the arguments they're going to use. They're going to use the teams that are, you know, that we saw celebrating last week, and rightfully so, because they've never been in 15, 20 years, and they're gonna use the argument. See, you if we change, you wouldn't have that. I'm not sure that that's what our end game goal should be.
Yeah. I mean, it's just Dave. You just said it. There's gonna be a round one game. It's going to be 55-0, and it's like, man, why even play this game? What did that team that lost 55-0? Last year, didn't the team forfeit out of it? If I remember correct, Dave.
You might be right. I know is we get like maybe two competitive games out of the quarterfinals. Right. We try to do something unique in football and basketball, and it's awful. They would be better off just doing that. Stick with what you do in other sports. LLLMNS. Why change? Why does football have to be different? Why does basketball have to be different? Especially if the change is worse, which unfortunately they don't see. And you know what? I want to get him on because Mitch has strong feelings and a lot of good ideas. So let's take a quick break, and then we'll get Mitch Ross on. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on WICC.
The Rudin Report Live presents Sunday Morning Quarterback, a look at Connecticut high school football with Dave Rudin on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Okay, we're back on Sunday Morning Quarterback, which is brought to you by Dutch's Restaurants. Dutch's Restaurants, fresh food, serve fast. We like to solve the world's problems here on Sunday Morning Quarterback, or at least our little part of the world, and that's what we're going to try to do for the next 20 minutes or so. And joining us, as always, when scheduling is the topic, Fairfield Ludlow coach Mitch Ross. Mitch, how you doing?
Very well, very well. Putting me on to make no friends in the state again.
That's okay. They don't like me up there anyhow, especially when this is the topic. Real quickly before we get into this, though, congratulations on getting to the state playoffs for the second straight year. A big win for the program over Staples last week. I know there's a lot of excitement over at Ludlow.
Well, unfortunately, we're not in the playoffs yet. We still have a Thanksgiving game that we have to win against a good Ward team. So, we're definitely not there yet. So we have one more to go. We did beat Staples for the first time in school history, or since it's been split out as Ludlow in Fairfield. So we did have a great win, and that was critical. But we've basically been in the playoffs starting with that week. We need to win every game, or basically our season's over. So this week, this Thanksgiving game will be the second round of the playoffs as far as we're concerned.
Yeah, I should. I you're winning in. I was a little premature there. No insult at all to Fairfield Wharton. It's nice because these have to be the you guys both going in over 500 and with the best combined records in some time. So it'll be a lot of excitement at both ends of town.
Yes, it should be a good game.
Okay, let's start real quickly, and I didn't talk about this with you yesterday, but it kind of came up after Thanksgiving football. Where do you stand? Are you on the we have to keep Thanksgiving football, or are you on the we have to fix the schedule because the playoffs start too late?
Well, I've been blessed because I've coached at two places where Thanksgiving football has been very important, at Darien and in at Fairfield. So, you know, I really, you know, feel strongly about Thanksgiving games. However, I do realize that for much of the state, the Thanksgiving games don't mean as much or aren't as important. And they would benefit from ending the football season earlier, letting the kids get into other sports. I do think there's a way to get both done. And, you know, I don't know that it'll ever happen, but I would eventually, you know, like to see football shifting to, you know, a 9-game season starting earlier, a 9-game regular season, I should say, starting earlier, no bye week, ending the season the last, you know, Friday, Saturday in October, and starting the playoffs, again, a 3-week playoffs in November. And at the end of that, you would have Thanksgiving would be open, and then all the towns and teams that want to play their Turkey Bowl, their Thanksgiving game, would play a 10th game. That would also allow some conferences to play their conference championship as well. So, for example, let's say if it was Greenwich against New Canaan this year. So Greenwich and New Canaan, and Greenwich would normally play Staples, and New Canaan would normally play Darien. Well, they would just flip their opponents. So Darien would play Staples, and Greenwich would play for the New Canaan for the championship, the FCS championship. So you could really accomplish both having Thanksgiving games, having a conference championship, and letting teams who Thanksgiving doesn't mean anything and they're out of the playoffs and maybe they had a bad year, maybe they're 2-8, and going through the end of October is a long enough season for them. And their season would be done. Maybe they play their rivalry game, you know, during the first week of the playoffs in November. That would also allow a normal schedule for the playoffs. It's brutal now to play Thanksgiving, then play Tuesday after Thanksgiving, then play Sunday for the second round. I mean, it's 3 days, 3 games in, you know, 10, 11 days. It's very difficult for, you know, teams, especially teams that aren't that deep.
But we got to protect the health of the kids, so we have to give them a bye week until it becomes inconvenient.
That's an issue, you know, correct. You know, but I think you could do both. You know, yes, I get it. It might not be ideal.
People I was speaking from the state's
game.
Yeah, I was talking from the state standpoint. You know, they're all about we got to give a bye week to.
No. Yes, I understood that. But, okay. I mean, it's more, you know, this would allow teams where Thanksgiving's important to have their Thanksgiving game, sort of like a bowl game. You would have, if you weren't in the playoffs, yes, you have a couple weeks of rest before it, but you would still have a big game for the community. And for the teams that are in the playoffs, they would go through the playoffs, they would have less rest, but they would still play their games. And for towns that didn't really care about a Thanksgiving game, their season could end the first week in November with their rivalry game, because those teams aren't in the playoffs. So I think you can make it, structure it, so that it helps everybody, and everybody likes the schedule. Is it perfect? No, because I don't think there is any perfect. And the other thing it does is gets the season out of the most terrible weather. You know, we are in Connecticut. I know you guys asked while I was waiting on hold, you know, how many teams play in December, how many states play in December, and there's about 10 or 12 states. But of course, half of those are in the South. half of those just play one game in December and they're done. Many times, Connecticut's one of the last states to finish up high school football. And I don't think it would be an issue if we were in Texas, but being in a northern state, it really doesn't make a ton of sense.
Yeah, Sean, you're a former coach. What do you think about all this?
I agree with everything that Mitch is saying. I really do. You know, the one year that we made the states, we were lucky enough. We won the first round, and we literally just had walkthroughs. We didn't have – we weren't deep enough where we could practice. So we literally just had walkthroughs because we could not physically hold a practice. And eventually we got beat pretty handily in the semifinals, but it's just a tough spot to put on the kids. And, you know, if we're talking safety of the kids, open up your eyes because this is the most unsafe thing for the kids.
Yeah.
Same thing happened to us. You know, we played Darien last year. We were the first time in school history we made the playoffs. And so we played Thanksgiving. Then we had to play Tuesday. We, out of our top seven players, six were injured. Now they were able to hobble through the first half, and we were able to play with Darien for the first half. But after they came out of the locker room, all those injuries, you know, they tightened up, and that was the end. Those kids were all out of the game. And very shortly thereafter, we were out of the game. So it definitely becomes a challenge.
Yeah, it's broke. It's broken. It's such a hard debate, Thanksgiving versus non-Thanksgiving and a better schedule, because nobody likes to do away with something that we have that's special. And I mean, you know what it's like before you started your first years at Ludlow, when you're just in the building up process, and what Ludlow Ward meant to everybody in town.
Yes. I mean, those games are critical. So by all means, keep them, you know, but I think in this way you can hopefully do two things. And I just don't buy the argument that, oh, it doesn't count for the playoffs. Well, obviously for most of the teams, it doesn't count for the playoffs. You know, it's just a game for pride. And that's fine. You already have your playoffs, and then now you have a great way to end it. And who needs, you know, in many ways, you get at least 50% of the teams winning their last game, as opposed to just six teams in the state winning their last game.
The other thing that what your proposal does, and that I know it would be a deal breaker, is everybody saying, well, let's just play a 9-game schedule and stick to 9 games, and nobody wants to take away 10% of the schedule from anybody. So the one thing that your proposal does is maintain the 10-game schedule for everybody. So I think that's important.
Yeah, no, everybody wants 10. I mean, most football coaches liked it when we had 11.
Oh, absolutely. They play 15 either. If you let them.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Well, 12 or 13. While we take a break, and Mitch, thanks. I know you said you could stay with us a little bit, and let's segue on the other side from Thanksgiving football to the state playoffs. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on WICC.
Game recaps, athlete interviews, and everything high school football. It's Sunday Morning Quarterback with Dave Rudin, live on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
Okay, we're back, and let's jump right into the state football playoffs. Mitch, before we start throwing ideas out there, do you get a sense why the CIAC is so resistant to change from a coaching standpoint? You talk to different people probably than I do.
Well, I think that the CIAC has tried to make these changes that are necessary. I just think that the changes they've made are a start, but have not gone far enough. So, for example, they try to increase strength of schedule by giving 5 points for each team that you play's victory, whether you win or lose. However, they increased it both when you beat them and when you lose. It just doesn't go far enough. That's giving those extra 5 points makes a difference at the very edge of a team's record. But still, if you're a team that finishes, beat 10 teams that finish 3-7, you get your 10-0 and you get 1,450 points, but you're beating only 3-7 teams. If you beat seven teams that finish 6-4, then lose to three teams that finish 7-3, you're going to lose out in the playoff spot to that team that really beat nobody. So, you know, I just think the CIC has tried, but it just doesn't go far enough in strength of schedule and making teams have a big incentive to play a hard schedule, which at the same time avoids the 10-0 teams versus the 0-10 team wipeouts, which nobody likes to see. Coaches on either side don't want to play those games, and fans don't want to see them, and the players don't want to play in them. So, but you can't penalize teams and say, well, you got to play everybody who's 9-1 and 8-2, you know, because you won't have you won't have enough points at the end, and you'll finish 6-4. And even though you're a good team and should make the playoffs, you won't.
Yeah. Sean and I talked about this at the very beginning of the season, and you and I talked about it yesterday, and I predicted this could or would happen, and indeed it did, where you had you have a team like Darien, which has turned out to be on the low end of the top teams that has been swept by everybody, now being in a very precarious situation getting into the playoffs, and you have a team like Danbury, which has been the best of teams that have been traditionally weak over the years, and they pretty much swept everybody, and they're already assured of a playoff spot.
Yes, because the FCAC went to tiered schedules, which was done to avoid the poor team, you know, the teams that traditionally struggle playing against the teams in the FCAC that are traditionally 10-0, 9-1, and very strong, you know, playoff and state contenders. So the intent is great. The problem is it's a zero, you know, sum game, so that if four teams aren't playing the top teams or not playing them as often, that means the other eight teams 5 through 12, have to play them an extra time. So if you look at Trumbull's schedule, they got crushed this year because, you know, they played every good team. And in the FCAC, those teams are very good, and it made it a very, very difficult for Trumbull to compete. It actually, in a way, it also doesn't really even help your playoff chances for any of the mid-tier teams, because the teams you beat, like, okay, so we beat Staples. Well, if Staples loses to Greenwich, we would get the same amount of points beating Staples as we do beating – we would get less points than if we played Danbury and beat them. So it really doesn't work out point-wise. The only solution I can really see to that issue is to increase alliance games. That's the only thing, because alliance games tend to be – you play the same – you know, the idea behind it is to play competitive games – teams that are similar to you. And if we were able to add more of those games, then there would be less reason for number 16 team to play the number one team, which everybody wants to avoid. But again, you get into an alternate problem. You know, there are teams and leagues that don't want to play outside of their conference. And that makes it difficult.
If you were the king of Connecticut football and got to throw the mandate out there, what's your best solution to the state playoff situation? What would you do?
I think the best solution is to give teams double points for every the first two alliance games they play. So if they want to play more, that's great. But for the first two you play, you get double points. And I'd also change the point system, so that you get 10 points for every opponent's win, regardless of whether you win or lose. And then if you win, you get 100 points. So let's say you lose to New Canaan, and they're 10-0. You would get 100 points. And if you beat an 0-10 team, you get the same 100 points. And in that way, no teams would be that hesitant to play a team that's going to end up having a good record. Because at the end of the day, it's, you know, no harder to beat an 0-10 team than it is to lose to a 10-0 team. You know, those teams never, one team never won and one team never lost. So it should be the same amount of points. Right now, it's not. Right now, you beat a team that's 0-10, you get 150 points. You beat a team that's, let's see, no, you get 100 points. You beat it, you lose to a team that's 10-0, and you receive 50 points. So that doesn't seem very even-handed to me, that you get twice the amount of points for beating a team that hasn't won this year than you do losing to a 10-0 team. And I think if you are able to get those two things done, you fix 95% of the problem. And I think the state tried. The state has definitely encouraged Alliance games and trying to push the leagues to it. And they've done some strength of schedule stuff. I just think they just need to do a little bit more. And it's hard because they're leagues that push back and it's a democracy. So you get, you know, each league votes. So it's hard to get this stuff done, but it'd be nice if it would get done.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a strict believer and you have leagues and you have to have league play, but I could certainly live with one more league game. And, I mean, one more Alliance game and go 7-3. And I still think that really heavily maintains the integrity of having league play and the benefits that you get overall for Alliance games. Sean, jump on in.
No, I agree. There is a fine line too, because you do want to keep the league, you know, the integrity of the league intact. And I think you do that. You know, I'm not saying, you know, play five Alliance games, but playing three would be ideal. And this is a little side. I also don't think that Alliance game should be week one. That's just, I don't know how you feel, Coach. Like, play a league game week one, just because you tend to know your opponent more. You know, like, you guys played Notre Dame West Haven week one. I'm not sure how much you knew about them, but if you play them week two, you get a game film on them, like a real game film. But back to the original point, I would be okay with adding one more Alliance game. You know, if you look, it does everything that it's intended to do, and I still think that the integrity of the league is in place.
Yeah, actually, you get your wish for next year. The Alliance games will be week two because of how the holidays fall. Wow. So you do get that wish. But the other one, you know, we'll see. You know, I think there's already a league that's opting out of Alliance games, and which is fine. If you don't want to play Alliance games, I don't really I don't begrudge that, but there has to be some consequence, because or else you get a division, you know, let's say you get a conference that's a super weak conference and there's going to be a 10-0 team, there's going to be a 9-1 team, and there'll be an 0-10 team. And then you get a very strong conference and they're going to have the same records. So you can't differentiate between which teams are good. I mean, you could make the same argument and say, oh, this NFL team is 8-2, they're or 7-3, they're, you know, and we're 7-3 or 6-3. You know, they're the same, you know, team as we are. Well, obviously that's not true. You know, it does, your record does depend on who you play. So let's give some benefit to strength the schedule more than what we're doing now. Let's double it. Let's give everybody 10 points. Get 100 points whether you win or lose to a 10-0 team. And then just give them a 100-point bonus, and I think that solves it. You guys asked earlier, you know, the problems that came up, and you asked who forfeited. Yeah, last year Northwest United forfeited their first playoff game. And, you know, fine, I can understand that. They were, you know, a smaller team. They were going up against a good opponent. But, again, that's something that should be done at the beginning of the year, just to opt out of the playoffs. So that another eight – the shame of it is that another 18 – the 9 team didn't get to play the 1 team. They lost out in the playoffs. And I think that's a really bad look for the whole state when that happens.
How many divisions should we have? I should have started there, but we don't need 6. I'd like to see the L's, the M's, and the S's merge, and then have a tech division. So you get you let them all play each other, and you get rid of some of the first round blowouts. What's your thoughts on that?
So I agree with having a tech division and a co-op division. I think that should be the case. I also think that you should probably have a school of choice and a private school division. Now, I know the argument is there's not enough, but, you know, frankly, they play with a whole different set of rules. So their playoffs should be, you know, separate in some way. But you guys, in general, I know the press is like, oh, we have too many divisions. But I'm sure most coaches would probably agree with me is that, like, football is the hardest sport to make the playoffs. Many sports, if you have a 40% winning record, you're automatically in the playoffs. Football, each year, there are 7-3 teams that don't make the playoffs. So it's a very, very hard row, you know, season to make in a long season, finish 7-3 and then don't make the playoffs. So I'm not against, you know, I don't mind having the sixth division. I just think they're not set up correctly. So unfortunately, we don't have the correct eight teams making the playoffs in each division. And that's going to happen this year. That happens every year. And that results in 50-0 first round games. That results in teams that are 9th and 10th not making the playoffs. So that's a whole host of issues that come along with that that really could be avoided, you know, with, you know, a co-op and tech school division, and give those teams a chance. And maybe the same thing could be done with a city division for the city schools, which obviously have a ton of challenges. And at the same time, if that happened, or if we just counted enrollment differently, maybe Double L wouldn't have, you know, a 40% of their teams with two or less wins, and only 8 500 teams or better teams, which all make the playoffs. So maybe that would clean up Double L, which is supposed to be the strongest division, but is definitely short of that this year and last year.
All right. I mean, we could talk about this, and I need to take a break, and I know you have practice at noon, and we could talk about this. There's some more things that we didn't get to. Maybe we'll get you back on for the end of the season wrap-up. But, Mitch, thanks a lot for sharing your wisdom, because I know you look at this more than any coach I know of. And I got a little premature because I've been trying to get in my mind, assuming everybody's going to get in, how I'm going to try to cover this all. But I know you still have to win against the best Ward team that you've probably seen in some years. So good luck with them, and hopefully we'll get a chance to see you playing a week from Tuesday as well.
Well, thank you very much, both of you. It's you guys always run an entertaining show. Thanks.
I appreciate it. So thanks, Mitch.
Thank you.
Okay, that was Fairfield Ludlow coach Mitch Ross. We'll take a break, and then Sean and I will kind of unpack a little bit more what we just talked about. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on WICC.
Let's hear what Dave Rudin has to say about this week in high school football. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
Okay, we're back, Sean. Mitch always has a lot of creative ideas, and certainly, and I have to think about it all a little bit more because there's a lot there. But the whole concept of having the best of all worlds, Thanksgiving football, a better schedule, keeping rivalries together, keeping the playoffs at a better. Starting and ending in a better time frame. A lot of interesting ideas there.
Yeah. You know, he's as smart as they come. So, you know, if he's talking numbers, if somebody's talking numbers, Mitch is the guy to talk to. You know, and he did bring up a good point, which I never thought of, Dave. Like, if we do decrease the divisions, now you're back to those 7-3 teams that don't get in, deserving teams. I remember this is back when Coach Tucci was the head coach. I want to say Trumbull High went 8-2, 8-2, 9-1, and they didn't get into the playoffs any of those years. So you want to try to avoid that as well. But, you know, if you're talking numbers, Mitch is the guy.
I still think 48 teams is too many, but it would certainly be a lot more palatable if, as Mitch said, we got the right eight teams in. Maybe we would be looking at it a little differently. I still would like to have four divisions. And if you're 7-3 1 year and you don't get in, it's disappointing. It's a shame, but just means that we have a lot of other good teams. I'd rather have that than the teams that don't deserve to be in there getting in there.
Yeah. I'm kind of on the fence with that one. I would rather see teams that deserve to get in, not the other way around. I would hate to see a team that does go 7-3 and they're a legit 7-3 and they don't get in.
How many teams in just say like double L or L, if Darien doesn't get in, how many of those teams that get in are they better than? Several. Pardon me?
I didn't hear what you said there. I'm sorry.
With Darien, let's say Darien does not get in, things don't fall their way. How many of the teams that in double L and L, let's say, that do get in, how many of those teams is Darien better than? A bunch.
Probably half of them.
A bunch.
Yeah.
So, it's because L is much stronger. And you look at double L and they're definitely getting in double L.
Right. But if you combine the two, like we talked about, Darien's already out. They would have to win. So if they won, they'd be 7-3 and they would need help to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, it's interesting. And we'll talk, you're going to have a team like Staples, which very well after Greenwich could be 5-5. I'm not saying, I think Staples will be Staples is in and they'll be better than some of the teams that do get in. But you're going to have a team on a four-game losing streak getting into the state playoffs.
Yeah, I see that side of it too. You got to figure something out though. Because you said it is broken. It is broken. They got to figure something out.
Yeah, it's just kind of the way it works out. Staples and Danbury, Staples and Darien are two of the lower end top teams in terms of they're basically victims of the very top of the FCAC being so strong this year. you look at the FCAC, and if I had a vote in an FCAC poll right now, I'd have to put Greenwich fourth, and that's basically just because of how the results have been, where St. Joseph beat Wilton, Wilton beat Greenwich. I think you'd have to put Greenwich fourth. What does that say when Greenwich is the fourth best team, if that's the way you look at it, if Greenwich is the fourth best team in your league?
Yeah, it's a very top-heavy league this year, which brings me to a side point you just mentioned. Whoever votes for the top 10, Wilton beat Greenwich 2 weeks ago, and people have Greenwich in front of Wilton.
Yeah, I saw that.
Wilton is 9-1, and people are voting Greenwich in front of them, and they beat them 2 weeks ago. I saw that,
and people are going by what you did in your most recent game, and again, you were only going to. It's not like opening week of the season. Where you say things have changed a lot since then. It was two games ago. I saw that, and that was something. I don't pay a lot of attention, I have to admit, to the poll. I mean, I take a peek at it. It's imperfect. If we had more time with Mitch, the other thing I wanted to ask him about, and you and I have talked about it a little bit, if you want to make football and basketball special and unique, and you want the best teams in, why don't you just, again, seed the tournaments and come up with a system?
Yeah.
That's the best solution of everything.
Yep.
You could take, you have the writers' poll, you have the coaches' poll, you have all those other, the Cal Poly and all those other polls, and you could have a seeding committee. Maybe you have each conference, each league represented. People on the football committee who really follow it, they would have some of the bowls as a basis for making a decision. I don't want to decide with my vote who's going to be in there, but you have enough data there that if you have the right people on the board, you can make informed decisions. And again, you're still going to have complaints about, you have complaints in the NCAA tournament, you know, who is the last team out. You're always going to have that debate, but that's a much healthier debate than the ones we're having right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy that we got to talk about this though. You know what I mean? Like, the focus should be on, you know, what the kids are doing, and we're worried about what a committee's doing up in the CIAC. They're just stubborn and not listening.
Okay, well, I hear our friends from Pink Floyd, so that means we have to take a break. Sean and I will come back and talk Thanksgiving Day football on the other side. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on WICC.
High school football lives here on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut, with Sunday Morning Quarterback and your host, Dave Rudin.
Okay, we're back for our final half hour here, and Sean, let's bounce around and look at the games, especially the games that are of note. And the first one of the two biggest ones of the weekend, is a Wednesday night Thanksgiving Eve kickoff, and that's going to be Danbury and Ridgefield. And Danbury, for the first time in 20 plus years, is going to the state playoffs. They're one of the beneficiaries of the current system, and that's the system in place, and they deserve to be there. And I think everybody in the league, I know, especially because Augie's such a good guy, is really happy to see that the Hatters in, and they're in a game now where they get to play spoiler. Again, sometimes they're playing, you know, they're playing spoiler as a team that's trying to get to 500. Now they're going to try to play spoiler against a Ridgefield team that needs to win. I know South Windsor lost yesterday. I'm not sure if they're automatically in with a win. I haven't kind of looked at the math or if they still need a little bit of help. But regardless, Ridgefield's got to take care of its own, what it controls. And they need to win to get in. Interesting game.
Yeah. I think this is going to be a good one. You know, Danbury up front is very good. I think it's going to be tough. I hate the fact that they're playing Wednesday night. I just have to be honest. The game should be played on Thanksgiving morning. But that's a side note. You know, it's going to be interesting. You know, because this game hasn't probably meant much besides, you know, within the communities it means a lot, but like for rankings and stuff like that, I don't know how long, if ever. So, you know, that's going to be an exciting one up there. You know, the place will be electric. It's going to be a good atmosphere.
Nah, it's going to be fun. Obviously, Danbury, I would think. Number one, these holiday games, you get big crowds anyhow, but there's obviously a big buzz going off in Danbury. So hopefully that gets more people coming out. And Ridgefield, the Tigers' lair, as good a fan base as there is in the FCAC with football. And hopefully they're out there to support their team. You know, if you had to make a betting line, I think Ridgefield goes in as a little bit of a favorite. They have a really good linebacking pair there. You have Chris Colsey, one of the game breakers at wide receiver. And it's going to be a competitive game. This is going to be the first time the Rudin Report covers this game. I don't remember the last time it took place. So the only good thing about it being on Thanksgiving Eve is it makes it possible for me to cover the game. But yeah, you know what? It's kind of fun that we're not talking about the usual suspect games as we get ready before Thanksgiving.
Yeah. All the games are important to people, but you know, it's going to be good. You know, the fact that Augie is doing what he's doing up there. You know, he's been up there. The fact that they're doing this, it's great. You know, can't be happy for him. You know, Ridgefield. You know, they're turning the corner. They used to be the team. They used to be one of the top teams year in, year out. So, you know, this is a big game for them as well. You know, maybe to get some excitement back in that program. You know, when they're back on the upper echelon of teams in the FCAC.
Yeah, nice job to Jamie Reed. We talk about good coaching jobs this year. Nice job in his second season by Jamie to get Ridgefield back in the position it is. And us talking the weekend before Thanksgiving about the playoffs. The other game, I don't know, do we call it the granddaddy of them all in terms of non-Rose Bowl games? But you've got Darien New Canaan. That's where I'll be, and I don't remember last year I wasn't there, and it would be a big game. It's the old trite cliche if both teams were, you know, 1-8, but New Canaan is going to be the number one seed regardless, and Darien is going to have to play with the greatest sense of urgency, and I mean, you don't, if you don't get up for New Canaan, you don't get up for any game. But does Darien, which has struggled against the other top teams in the league, do they get the job done against the very top team in the league?
You know, they always throw the records out, you know, always throw them out. But I think New Canaan's going to pull through. They obviously they're not going to overlook them. You know, they're too good of a program. They're too well coached to overlook them. But you know, I think New Canaan wins this, but would not be shocked if Darien won either. You know, this is.
I'd be shocked.
Yeah.
I have to admit, this year I'd be shocked. There are other times where it would, you know, where one team is a heavy favorite, and you still say maybe I wouldn't be shocked. This year I would really be shocked.
Yeah. I was trying to explain to a couple of the kids at Norwalk High, like, about the difference. I was like, you know, we hate Brian McMahon for 2 weeks, and then they're friends again. New Canaan and Darien, they just hate each other. They respect each other, but they hate each other. It's just a different type of rivalry. But yeah, I think New Canaan pulls this one out.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be a pull one out. I think the game will be Darien. This is just a down year for Darien. And you know what? Every team has down years. Every team has down years. So we're not, you know, the fact that they're having a down year, they were maybe due for one, and they had losses beyond their expectations with the transfers that we talked about with Rollap and Herget. So, you know what? I haven't shouted him out enough, and he's been getting talked about a lot and just, you know, for 5 seconds. Ryan Gately, I know Darien's been down, and maybe this reason. Ryan Gately on defense is just having a monstrous year, and I don't know that he's getting the recognition, maybe because Darien is a little bit down, but every coach keeps, literally almost every coach when you talk about the rest of the league, Gately gets mentioned by everybody.
Yeah. And again, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Darien's down here. Okay, sign me up. You know, like,
yeah.
It's just crazy. I could also go back to when they played in the state championship last year. I thought New Canaan was just going to run away with it, and Darien was right there. So I think New Canaan's going to win. You never know in this game. You just don't know.
Okay. I feel like I know. We'll see. Maybe we'll do a little side bet on my ride home. Before we get to the break, Greenwich Staples, another one where, it'd be a little bit of a surprise. You know, Greenwich had you know, wobbled a little bit with the losses to New Canaan and Wilton, which – you know, if you're going to lose two games, those aren't two horrible games to say really have marred your record. But, you know, Staples has just really struggled against these top teams the last few weeks. I was talking with you about this. I think about Chaz Darby, and maybe he's been, I think he's a really good running back who's been underused, and the way Staples has been playing, you know, maybe should be used a little bit more. It's been a tough year for quarterback Nick Weil, basically through no fault of his own, not having the weapons that he's had in the past, not having the time he's had in the past, scrambling a lot. And, you know, Greenwich, I think, is they righted the ship. I think we're going to see the upward trajectory as they make a run towards another state championship.
Yeah, I think Greenwich, I think they're, I think they're going to win. I think it's going to be a multi-score difference in the game. I think Greenwich, they're I didn't know that they didn't beat them in 4 years. I did not know that, and I think Greenwich, they're just going to be hungry, you know, and I think they're just going to come in and they're going to do what they need to do.
And it's funny because things will change, but as if the season ended right now, that would be the quarterfinal double L meeting as well, would be Staples Greenwich.
Yeah,
Nobody wants to see that. Not because of one team being heavily favored, but nobody wants to see the same matchup 2 weeks in a row. Just as nobody wants to see if Darien, you know, does get in a Darien New Canaan game again 5 days later.
Yeah, if the perfect world would be if Greenwich wins, they bump up to two, you know, and then, you know, Danbury bumps up to six and Staples drops down to eight. That way all the FCAC teams avoid each other in the first round in double L.
The one team I don't want to see any FCAC matchups, but the one team I really don't want to see have an FCAC matchup is Danbury. Let's see how Danbury does against a top team outside the league.
Yeah, I agree with that too. I agree. Because I think they can cause some trouble. I think they can. You know, they got a lot of mismatches up front, you know, that other teams might not know about. And, you know, I just don't play an FCAC team round one.
Yeah, I hope they have all of them avoid it. You know, I hope Staples and Danbury both avoid Greenwich in the first round. While we take a break and on the other side, we'll finish up bouncing around some of the other games. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on WICC.
Expert analysis and all things high school football. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback with Dave Rudin, live on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Okay, we're back for the home stretch now. Sean, we have St. Joseph playing Trumbull. It's been a tough year for Trumbull. They certainly had the roughest schedule, they got dealt the roughest hand, and it's showing. I don't know what they would have done with a more conducive schedule. I think they probably would have been somewhere around the 500 team, but, you know, I don't see St. Joseph having a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I see this. I see St. Joe's winning this one pretty handily, unfortunately. Not unfortunate. You know, we don't root for anybody, but you know what I mean. I think Trumbull, man, they just had a rough go. They really did. And, you know, the thing that's annoying, Dave, back to what we were talking about before, they beat NFA. NFA is currently the 8th seed in the double L playoffs. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know, so yeah, I think St. Joe's. I just think they're unbelievable. You know, I think they're just absolutely rolling right now. You could make the argument, like if they played New Canaan right now, you could make the argument that St. Joe's could beat New Canaan. Yeah, right. I think St. Joe's wins this one easily.
Yeah, I agree. And I was about to, you stole a little bit of my thunder. How big right now you like played a national championship or a Connecticut championship game and you put St. Joseph and New Canaan in a rematch? How big? Put them in Boyle Stadium right now and how many people show up for that game?
Yeah. Oh, man. Wait, an FCAC championship game? Oh, that would be nice. Who wants that?
The hearts just started beating now. A lot of FCAC coaches right now, the heart rate just started to tick up a little bit more. The game you're going to be at, Norwalk and McMahon, and again, these are the games now that are battle for city or town bragging rights. And, you know, people, a better McMahon team than I think people expected at the beginning of the year. You know, they've had their record's not great, but they haven't had a horrible year. And everybody told me at the beginning of the year this was going to be a terrible McMahon team. Made it sound like they weren't going to win a game, and that certainly hasn't been the case at all. And the Norwalk team that I know is probably a little bit disappointed. They were hoping they could be in the same position that Danbury is in right now, but you get a win, and it might not be the season they were hoping for, but certainly not a bad season.
No, not at all. I think Norwalk comes in as a favorite in this one. You know, I don't think it's going to be a huge favorite, but I think they do come in as a favorite. I think if Norwalk does not turn the ball over, which they have done the past couple weeks, if they don't turn the ball over, they'll be okay. But if they do turn the ball over, it's going to be a dogfight. You know, 6-4, if Norwalk wins, they're 6-4 in the FCAC. That's nothing to be ashamed of, but it's going to come back. And Dave, I've been in that coach's office before. If they beat McMahon, they're going to sit there, man, if we held on to beat Ludlow, our season would still be going on right now. You know, it's just one of those things. Coach Vega's done a great job over there in his first year at McMahon. But I agree with you. I didn't think they were going to be that good, but hey, they got three wins. You know, they were in there tooth and nail with Danbury, which is a very good team. So it's going to be a good game, I think.
Yeah, another good coaching job in his first year. So props to him. We talked a little bit about it with Mitch. Interesting Ludlow Ward game. You can make an argument that this game has the two, and you talked them up last week. You can make the argument these are the two best quarterbacks in the league, which who would be saying that? But yeah, I think Ryan Love is the best, has been the best quarterback in the league this year. And yeah, there are a lot of people that would say that James Delavolpe is number two. That's certainly an arguable case, but certainly a case that you can make an argument for.
Yeah, I read about James Delavolpe the whole you know, the year, but I got to see him in person last week, and he's legit. You put him, I said it last week, you put him, he could start on almost every team in the FCAC. I think that's going to be a high-scoring game. I think both offenses are just going to go right down the field. It might turn into whoever has the ball last wins. But the scoreboard operator better be ready, because there's going to be a lot of points scored that game.
Yeah, it's going to be a high-scoring game, and if you're there, be prepared to be there for a while. Hopefully it's not a cold day, because you're going to be sitting in the stands there for quite some time, and the balls are going to be flying all over the field.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Hopefully your Thanksgiving dinner is set for 5 o'clock, because the game might just be getting over.
Yeah, don't have 2 or 3 o'clock dinner. You're not gonna make kickoff for dinner on time. That's for sure. Another big community battle, and this is the kind of game where you do make the argument where everybody should get a Thanksgiving game, and you have a one win West Hill team against a winless Stanford team. The Vikings got a close win over Bridgeport Central. So two teams that have had disappointing seasons, and somebody's going to get to remember that their senior year, it wasn't what they wanted to be, but we beat, you know, fill in the blank, West Hill or Stanford.
It's one of the ones, you know, they both had long seasons, but whoever wins this, it's going to be remembered as a good season because they beat their crosstown rival. You know, it's still a meaningful game for everybody in the city of Stanford. You know, there's going to be excitement in the locker rooms and in the stands, you know, and you said it, Dave, this is the reason why these games are important.
What's it like when you have a team that, and you haven't been in the situation, weren't in the situation very often, but I think the last year when you and Pete took one for the team and helped out Doug Marchetti in the school and came back to coach in a moment of need. But what's it like? What are you saying to your kids Wednesday night when they've had a disappointing season, but they have opportunity to end it on a real, real high note.
Yeah, you just say to them, this is why we play. Like, this is the game you are going to remember. You know, like, when 10 years down the road, you're not talking about, hey, do you remember when we played Ridgefield? No. You're talking about, hey, do you remember the McMahon game? I'm 47 years old. Thanksgiving break, this is what we talk about with our friends. We talk about the North McMahon game. You know, you just tell them, all it takes is one game. You only got to beat them once. That's it. And, you know, and if you win, it's one of the – It's the best day of the year, you know, and the kids believe it. It's always the best week and a half of practice. You know, it's what it's all about. It's what it's all about.
And that, you know, we're talking about this just sort of bolsters Mitch's argument of trying to get the best of both worlds. How can we move the schedule up and how can we still have Thanksgiving football, and that certainly, and again, I need to think about it a little bit more, but it's certainly a basis for trying to devise a schedule to accomplish that.
Yeah. I'm a huge fan of Thanksgiving football, so if there's a way to do both, I'm all for it. You know, because our season does go, it does run long, but I'm a huge fan of Thanksgiving Day football. So if there's a way to do both, I'm all for it.
Yeah, and again, I anybody who's making the argument to change the schedule, it's not an anti-Thanksgiving vote. Quite the opposite. It's done with great reluctance. It's just trying to come up with a way to make the schedule better, which I think needs to happen, and make better use of the calendar. And then the final game is Bridgeport Central also goes outside the league and plays Harding. And, you know, I know that in an ideal world, we could try to fix some of the games on Thanksgiving, but that's a very, very, very minor argument for another day. So, Sean, 30 seconds. Give me reason as a Giant fan for hope.
I'm sorry, Dave, I didn't hear you. No, I'm joking.
All I know is I'm ready. I never root for them to lose, but I'm ready to sacrifice some games if it means Joe Shane's gone.
Yeah, I still can't believe they got rid of Dayball, but not both of them. It's mind-boggling.
The only thing I'm holding on to is that they didn't want to get rid of a GM mid-season. And that's the only thing. But Sean, a great show. I want to thank Mitch Ross. I want to thank Andrea and the production booth. See, I remembered today. Sean, let's have a nice day of Thanksgiving games and come back next week and talk about them as well as the state playoff.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Good luck to everybody.
Yep, you've listened to Sunday Morning Quarterback, brought to you by Dutchess Restaurants. Dutchess Restaurants, fresh food served fast. Have a good holiday, everyone.